I want to welcome everyone again this morning, especially our guests and visitors. And this week, with our first reading, we have something unique. It's not very often during ordinary time, but on back-to-back Sundays, we continue from a reading into another reading. Last week was the first part of Genesis chapter 18, and now we continue with another part of that very story. And I gave you a little homework assignment. I asked you to read, when you came to Mass, Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. It was the first reading of last week, because we need that to know what's happening in our reading of today. But here's a very brief review. Three visitors are traveling along, and they come across Abraham and Sarah's place. Abraham sees them, and he runs out to him and offers them hospitality, and they accept. And the rest of that reading, we hear about Abraham and Sarah being busy. They scurry about, they prepare, they prep, and they provide this great, huge feast. And because of their work, Abraham and Sarah are promised something. Do you remember what it was? They are promised a child. They are promised a son. Now, first reading of today, we continue this story. Now we know where these three men are going. They're on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is one of the three men. And God turns to Abraham and says, why don't you walk along with us? And Abraham accepts. And it's in the course of the conversation between God and Abraham that Abraham realizes things are not looking good for Sodom and Gomorrah. God is angry with their immorality and also their depravity, and he wants to destroy it. And Abraham is afraid because within Sodom, he has a nephew, and his nephew's name is Lot. And so the countdown begins. God, what if there are only 50 innocent people in that town? Would you still destroy it? No. 5 left and 50? No. 40? No. 30? No. 20? No. 10? No. And yet, what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah? Sulfur is rained down upon it, and it's leveled. So the question we ask is this. Does this mean God is unfaithful? But God doesn't listen to a prayer. Well, now we have to go beyond the first reading of this Sunday, and we have to hear the rest of the story. Here's how it goes. At a certain point on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, God and Abraham part ways. God goes one way, Abraham goes another way. Meanwhile, these other two men, they continue on the journey, and they enter Sodom. And of all places they end up for the night, they end up, get this, in Lot's house. And before retiring for the night, the men of the town, from the young to the old, gather around Lot's house and they yell out, bring those two men out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Why? Well, with kids here, I got to kind of say this a little carefully, but this is going to give you an idea of how immoral and depraved the cities were. They wanted them to come out so that the men could have, get this, relations with them. That's how immoral Sodom and Gomorrah were. And that was it. The last straw. Lot knows this. And he goes up to his son-in-laws who have contracted marriage with his daughters and says, get out of this town. And you know what they do? They laugh at him. They think he's joking. So in the end, there are only four people that leave. Lot, his wife, and two of his daughters who have yet to contract marriage. Okay? They leave. And yet, here are a couple questions I think you can answer. When Lot leaves, God asks the four, they are not to do one thing when they leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember what it was? Don't look back. And yet, as they leave, all of a sudden, Lot's wife does look back, and she turns into a pillar of. So four is now dwindled to three. So, is God unfaithful? Well, the way I look at it, it's this. Think about the last petition of Abraham. God, what if there are 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah? Would you destroy it for those 10? And God says no. Well, I got to go back to my mathematics. And if I remember right, 3 does not equate to 10. So God's not unfaithful. And yet, Abraham's prayer is answered because guess what? Lot is saved. Is saved. Okay. Let's continue on with the power of prayer today. You know, there are many intellectual, philosophical discussions, statements out there that just continue, that really have no answer to them, that they just, we throw them out there and we can debate about them all day and never really come up to with an answer. So here are some of them that I wrote down that I think we throw around from time to time. Which one came first, the chicken or the egg? Okay? Second one, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Okay? Number 3, listen to these. If anything is possible, is it possible for anything to be impossible? If a ring is circular in configuration, why is a boxing ring square? Why is the time of day with the slowest traffic called rush hour? How come people tell you to stay a kid as long as you can when at the moment you do something childish or immature, they tell you to grow up? If all the nations on earth are in debt, where did all the money go? The number 2 pencil is the most popular. Why is it only number 2? We all claim to learn from our mistakes, and why aren't we all geniuses? When does it stop becoming partly cloudy and start being partly sunny? Here's the last one. This is a great one for me. Older people say Father Schuster is young. Younger kids say I'm old. Which one is it? Is it? You get the point. Today, there is one question that I can give you in which there is no intellectual or philosophical discussion. None. And here we come to the gospel of today. We hear in Luke's version the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 2 provides us the Lord's Prayer. But there's a little difference at the end of both of those Gospels when it comes to the Lord's Prayer. Matthew's focus, when he gives us the Lord's Prayer, is forgiveness. If you forgive others, your Father will forgive you. If you don't, neither will your Father forgive you. Luke doesn't. Did you notice today, Luke is about persevering. In other words, ask, ask, ask. And yet here we come to that great question. And here it is. But Father Schuster, I pray, I ask, I persevere, yet God seems unmoved. He doesn't answer my prayer. Why? I get it. I've been there. Here's the answer. Brothers and sisters, God is more concerned about our needs than our wants. God arms us with what we need. So that means sometimes when we pray that we want something, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's not yet. And yet, God asks one thing of us, and here it is. We have to ask. Quick example. Pretend our children today, you get a monthly allowance, and you haven't got a raise from your monthly allowance for 5 years, and you're angry, you're upset, you're mad about that. So what do you have to do? You got to ask. You may get yes, you may get no, you may get not yet, but guess what? If you don't ask, nothing happens. God asks that of us. To ask. And with that in mind, we now come to the question that I can give you an answer to, in which there is no philosophical or intellectual debate. Here it is. How much does a prayer weigh? There's a story of a grocery store owner who tried to weigh one. A tired-looking woman came into the store and looked for enough food to make a dinner for her children. The grocer asked her how much she could spend. Frail woman answered, I have nothing to offer but a little prayer. storekeeper was not very sentimental nor religious, so he said, half mockingly, write it on paper and I'll weigh it. So she did. The grocer placed the prayer on the weight side of his old-fashioned scales. Then he began piling food on the other side, but to his amazement, the scale would not go down. He finally became flustered and gave the woman a large bag of food. The grocer never saw the woman again, but he treasures a slip of paper on which the woman's prayer had been written, and here it was. Please, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So ask, knock, seek. God's waiting. God's blessings to you.